Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead, inside the Business Radio X studios. Hello, everybody. It's Friday, 11 a.m., another gorgeous day here in Buckhead, and you're listening to Georgia Business Radio, where we feature industry leaders from Atlanta to Savannah and back again, here to share their stories about what they're doing professionally out there to serve the community. So we have a great lineup of guests here. Just briefly introduce you here. We have John Wright. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
What will you be sharing with our listeners today?
We're going to talk about our company, Access Point Financial, which is an Atlanta-based company, with its roots dating back to 1998 in the hotel debt and equity business.
How long have you been with the company?
I've been managing the predecessor companies at General Motors and back to Holiday Inn in Memphis, Tennessee. And so we have 25 years under our belt. We'll talk about some of that history.
Lots to dive into there and get to share with our listeners. So thank you for joining us. And seated next to him is Mark Gonsalves with FoodZO.com.
Correct.
Tell us what you got going on over there.
Well, a few different things. First of all, it's all about food and wellness and how food affects that very topic. So for my wife and I, we do a radio show in Atlanta called The Food Conspiracy on AM, heard over the weekend. We also have a company called FoodZO.com, which will be launching a non-GMO, organic, online grocery store where you have access to thousands of products that have been completely vetted. Mm-hmm. That'll launch in June. That's very exciting to us.
Good. We'll talk more about that. We saw each other at the Alive Expo 2015 just this past weekend.
It was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, how was that? A good experience?
It was. It was a great experience. The reaction was really strong. And to see so many people trying to figure out alternative ways to be able to affect their well-being was really encouraging. And then, of course, you heard some of the stories as well, where people had changed dramatically their health by being able to use food as their medicine.
Good. I look forward to talking more about that. And at this time, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Dr. Taz Bhatia. She is a native Atlantan. She attended Westminster Schools, Emory University, the University of Georgia, and the Medical College of Georgia. She has served as a medical expert for CNN Headline News, Dr. Oz, featured in numerous media outlets, including Today, Access Hollywood, Good Morning America, The Weather Channel, and now Georgia Business Radio. Welcome, Dr. Taz.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm great.
I think your headphone there is turned the wrong direction. There we go. Now, can you hear me good?
Much better.
All right. Now we're rocking and rolling here. So welcome to the broadcast. We're excited you could join us, and you're here to talk to us about the Atlanta Center for Holistic and Integrative Medicine. Tell us a little about that, please.
So the Center for Integrative Medicine is a business I started about 6 years ago, and it's really just trying to bring patients some different options for their health. You know, my story and what got me into it, I was having issues with my own health and not really getting answers everywhere I went. And so I started the center really with very minimal expectations. I really thought I'd continue in what I was already doing, which was emergency medicine, and just maybe see patients 1 or 2 days a week. But as I opened, you know, the demand just went out of control, and we continue to grow and build our team, and we're looking to the future as well.
Excellent. And I find that happens a lot with folks is they have a personal experience that they turn that into their business passion. And when did that happen for you?
Well, you know, it was a journey, definitely, like many things are. You know, I first became sick right after residency, mm-hmm. you know, and as I was starting my new job and just started having a lot of health issues and started that whole process of trying to learn and trying to figure it out and went to the best doctors in the city, best doctors in the country, wasn't really getting the answers that I needed. And tried some of the conventional things, too, and had horrible side effects. So I just started studying because it's what I know best. And one thing led to another. And finally, you know, after about 8 years of studying all this stuff, you know, people would keep asking me questions. And my husband was the one who encouraged me. He goes, you really just need to do something with this. Mm-hmm. You're going to forget it. So we started. And I had a very tiny model, thought I would see a couple of patients, you know, maybe once or twice a week, share my knowledge. There was no financial incentive. There was no incentive whatsoever other than just to use the knowledge that I had. That's it. That was my motivation. And that started it. And it just, you know, that inner thing in you kicks in. It's like you fix one thing and you want to move on to the next and you learn another set of tools and another set of information and it keeps driving it. And it continues to drive what we do today.
And what year was that?
That was in 2009.
Right. So just recently. And you've grown every year since then?
We have grown dramatically. We've either doubled or tripled every year that I've been in business.
So you see this as a trend going forward? People are reaching out and looking for more alternative types
of... Yes, I mean, we're done. I think everyone's done. We're done with conventional healthcare. We're done with the model. People are tired of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they're really tired. You know, so many times patients come to me and they're just like, I'm so happy to have a team that actually cares and actually listens. There's so many stresses on the conventional doctor today. You know, so it's not just about the doctor maybe not caring. It's about a system that really doesn't enable the doctor to care. Mm-hmm. And you can't have good medicine without a relationship. So our entire business model is built on building that relationship with the patient. It really, the rest doesn't matter. As I've evolved, first it was a lot about integrative medicine or holistic mm-hmm. medicine or acupuncture. It was about all these other systems of medicine. But as we've evolved over the last 6 years, it's really not about the systems of medicine anymore. It's just about good medicine. Yeah. And it's about doing the best thing for the patient and using all these different tools to get somebody healthy.
Yeah, that sounds good. And so say I'm a person in need of some holistic health medicine, and I come into your clinic. What are some of the first things you'll look at or questions you'll ask me to kind of put me in the right directions or help you figure out what to get is the root cause of my issues?
Some of it will be very familiar. You go through the same sort of triage process. What are your vital signs? Mm-hmm. Get a history, get a physical, that type of thing. But the things that are different is that we diagnose kind of based on other systems of medicine as well. So we'll do a Chinese medical evaluation, an Ayurvedic medicine evaluation.
Okay.
Food and nutrition, speaking, you know, yeah. to someone for whom I know food is a passion. Food and nutrition are the core. You know, we do about a 3-week diet recall to find out what you've been eating over the last 3 days.
Okay.
We go over that about 2 or 3 times to find the patterns of your eating and how those might be rooted into what you might be fighting or dealing with, and also to where you may need to shift, mm-hmm. you know. So that all takes time. It takes 45 minutes to an hour face-to-face interaction with the patient.
Right.
Then we step out of that room and we formulate a plan that's specific to that patient. So it's not a quick, like, here's your prescription, I'll see you in a yeah. week or two. It's more like this is a 5-page plan for your health.
Right. So you start mapping out a little bit of their past, what they've been doing to themselves, and then get them pointing in the right direction so to help them get healed up or feeling better.
Exactly.
And then how long does a typical patient spend time with you, or what is kind of the length of time to recover or at least get back to a wellness state of being?
Well, you know, the nature of the practice has really changed. You know, you would think it's just attracting complex care, but it's attracting everyone. So every patient has their own story. Mm-hmm. Some people come in and they're just, I'm here for prevention. There's nothing wrong. You know, they just want to look under the hood, so to speak, and make sure that all the parts and pieces are working together. So that's a pretty easy workup. We go through my main concepts of prevention. We do the testing that matches that, and we'll mm-hmm. see them maybe once a year,
okay.
or twice a year. But then you've got people that have been to Mayo, they've been to Duke, they've been to Hopkins, they've been all around the world looking for answers for their health. Mm-hmm. And those folks take longer to really understand. So they'll be with us for maybe 2 or 3 hours in the office. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll have a treatment plan. They'll come back in for follow-up quickly. And depending on how long they're sick, I usually say for every year you're sick, you need at least 3 months to heal.
Okay.
So that helps us guide, you know, kind of what they can expect in terms of recovery.
How many doctors do you have on staff over there?
We just expanded and we now have 2 doctors, 2 nurse practitioners. And so it's about a 5 provider model. Mm-hmm. We have a employee, about 25 to 30 employees currently. So it's a far cry from where I started, where it was me and one other person and, yeah. you know, a business model of 2. So we've really grown a lot. And looking to the future, there's a lot kind of that we're working on as well.
And is this something that insurance plans cover or not?
They don't. So insurance plans don't cover time-based care. And the whole, you know, foundation of integrative medicine and holistic medicine is having that relationship with your patient and creating that relationship, which takes time.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't, you know, they won't usually reimburse for time, but you can use insurance, and we do use them for testing, for the medications that somebody might need, for radiology, you know, for those type of things. So we kind of have a hybrid model where we use insurance where we can, and then it's out of pocket for other pieces.
Well, that kind of speaks to kind of the imbalance out there in the healthcare industry, where the insurance is driving, you know, the kind of care you get or dictating the kind of care you get. If they knew that the preventative care that you could provide someone would reduce your insurance costs down the road, you would think that they would, you know, kind of pony up a little bit and provide that for their folks.
Well, I mean, I think that's my long-term mission, because we now have about roughly 10,000 people that have come through the practice. And what we want to do now at this point in the practice is go back and look at the data and be able to maybe go to kind of the big guys and say, hey, look, over the last 5 years, because I did X, Y, and Z, mm-hmm. this patient no longer needs diabetes medication, cholesterol medication, blood pressure medication. They've avoided like their bypass surgery that they might have needed.
Yeah.
We have saved probably this potential patient, you know, $1 million in healthcare costs if you look over the long run. So that's our our goal is to get to that point, prove that case, and really make this the standard of medicine and the standard of medical care across the board. It should not be something that's only available to some people.
No, that's true. I totally agree. You know, I've had some experience with changing my diet and changing my lifestyle and seeing great results, and that's just from things I have read or heard and incorporated into my life. So it's not a hard change, but what are some of the challenges or fears that someone may have before coming to visit you that you help them overcome?
Well, there, you know, just entering our practice, I think, is a commitment, right? You're mm-hmm. committing your time. It's a long visit. You're not going to get in and out of there. We've tried so many ways, but there's not a way to rush in and out of there because it is a time-based relationship. You know, you're committing your finances. There is an out-of-pocket cost. You put that money down to see us. Hopefully, that also means that there's a commitment to your health. And then I think there's confusion. There's just complete confusion mm-hmm. about what holistic care is, what integrative care is, mm-hmm. you know, what alternative care is. Is it quackery? Where does it fit in the grand, you know, the grand medical model? Mm-hmm. Is this real? Do I really have to do this? You know, there's all of those hesitations that we field from patients all the time, you know, and the best patients are the ones that have been referred by our other patients that understand and really know what the process is like, and then they're ready to go. They're like, I want to change my life. I'm here. I'm ready to go.
And that kind of speaks to, you know, society today. Everybody wants a quick fix.
Yes.
Everybody wants to take one pill yes. once a day and hopefully cure their needs, but it's really about changing your lifestyle, changing your perspective on what it takes to get and lead a healthy life.
You're yeah. correct. I mean, I think that some of the challenge for me, like just, you know, running and owning the business has been to make that cultural shift. You know, yes, I understand we're all busy. Yes, I understand we all want to get in and out of this practice, you know, but this is a relationship, and to really understand you, we've got to spend the time with you. This is not convenience-based medicine, you know? And so to really make a change in your life, you have to understand. What I've learned is you have to understand how all the pieces fit together. If you don't get the big picture of your health, you know, it's very hard to stay motivated. A standard doctor will say, well, eat less and exercise more. Well, that's great, but what does that mean for yeah. you as an individual? Does that mean eat more carbs or eat more protein? Right. Does that mean more fat? Like, what does that mean? You've got to connect the dots for people.
Right. How do you do that, and how do you adopt that into a lifestyle that makes you successful?
Right.
A lot of people are afraid of failure. You know, they don't want to adopt a new plan that they're only going to give up on a couple weeks later, sometimes 3 or 4 days later. So I guess you providing that counseling for them or some of that support, not just office visits, but helping them, you know, when they're not in your office, you know, with whatever kind of support they may need.
We have tried to set up a model that will provide the patients access to us as they're on this journey. We really see it as a journey to getting to your best self. Mm-hmm. So they have access to us. They have email access to us. We have classes in the center where they can join, the classes. And then there's that element of group support. You know, we have other providers. We have nutritionists. We have health coaches. You know, we have acupuncturists. We've got all these ancillary people, too, on hand that maintain the relationship of the patient with this, you know, with yeah. the center. And what I really see the center as, you know, moving forward is it's a home. It's a medical home for people. So if you can't get me because I'm in a room and I'm running around and I'm busy or, you know, doing other things, then you've got this entire team of people here to support you and here to cheer you on with your health.
Oh, that's great.
Rich Casanova, producer, engineer for Georgia Business Radio. Dr. Taz, pleasure listening to you. A couple of questions as well. I meant to ask you this before we went on the air, so I know you have a lot of patients, but I have a friend, Jim Silverman, but he's a patient of yours, and he had highly recommended you as well. So,
uh-huh.
But books, I understand you've written a couple of books. Tell me about those, and what was the idea behind those, and subject matter, I guess.
Sure, yeah. I've written two books. The first one was What Doctors Eat. The premise, that was a book published by Rodale, and I think that came out a couple years ago. And the premise behind that was, you know, again, the standard model of your doctor. Right. You know, does my doctor really eat healthy? What do doctors eat while they're busy telling everybody else to right. eat healthy and exercise more? So that was the premise of the book. What do doctors eat? Do they follow a consistent diet? So the book really went into the diets of some of the leading doctors around the country, and we took a hard look at it to see if there were any similarities. And at the end of the day, while everyone has some tweaks here and there, most of us who are really passionate about nutrition and food and health are eating sort of a semi-vegetarian, Mediterranean, anti-inflammatory diet. So a lot of fruits and vegetables, a lot of healthy fats. We eat meat, but, you know, some don't eat meat at all. Some eat a little bit, but it's in a measurable quantity.
Right.
And that's where it all settled out to. So it's also a cookbook and a recipe book and a great gift book
okay.
because it has tons of recipes in it that a lot of people love to make and use at different occasions.
Nice. For all those foodies out there,
for
whatever.
All the foodies, exactly.
Great for Mother's Day.
Yeah. It's a great Mother's Day present, yeah, actually. The second book was The 21-Day Belly Fix. It came out this fall,
okay.
And it's a little deeper, okay. And it's not quite as light and fluffy as the first one.
Yeah.
So that book was all about resetting your digestive health, because right. If you look at any other system of medicine, if you look at Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, functional medicine, you name it, any right. other system of medicine believes that the gut is the foundation for your health.
Right.
So it's a weight loss book. It's a diet plan for 3 weeks, but it's not meant to be a diet.
Right.
It's meant to be a lifestyle change and a complete education on how changing that will change your health. And we have so many amazing, amazing stories of people who've done the plan and continue to do the plan. I mean, yesterday, but I had 3 or 4 patients who told me they are doing it before they head out to the beach, you know, next month, and are just trying to get back in shape. But it's not just the weight loss that's amazing. It's the shift in mood, getting off medications again, right. You know, the shift in energy, the shift in hormones, all of those things that are connected back to digestive health.
Sounds like definitely two good reads there. And raised some great points. Early on, you talked about the maybe we need to rethink our medical approach and the business of medicine. It could be broken, right? So why keep doing the same thing if you're going to end up with the results you're not looking for, right? And also on the diet or the emphasis on the food, it's amazing how many people don't connect the dots on what you eat is what you are, right? I mean, it's like and you have people that. You know, if the books you're reading or the movies you're watching, the TV you're watching doesn't affect your mental outlook, you're kidding yourself, right?
That's right.
You're totally kidding yourself. And, you know, I've had so many conversations on why is medicine broken? Why do we spend so much money? You know, we have great technology. What's going on there? And, you know, you have these corporations coming in and really analyzing all of that data and doing all that stuff. And I can give you a very simple answer as to why medicine is broken. You have taken away the doctor-patient relationship.
Yeah.
That's why medicine's broken. If you do not take time with people, if
right.
you don't, you know, foster that relationship, you take away their motivation, you take away their community, you take away their desire to change. And you yourself as a physician never truly understand what you're dealing with.
Right.
You're just sort of plugging holes along the way, you know.
Yeah.
So that's why medicine, I think, is broken.
Yeah.
Let's help rebuild those relationships.
Absolutely. So, Dr. Taz, tell our listeners the best way to reach out and find out about your product, services, and your business.
So there are a number of different ways. So drtaz.com is my website. We have lots of information, which is more educational. You can go there. My Twitter handle is at drtazmd. And then the center side is atlantaholisticmedicine.com, where you can learn more about the entire team, everything that the center offers, our classes, all that good information. And then their Facebook is atlantaholisticmedicine.com. You know, on Facebook.
Nice. Well, Ryan, I feel just healthier already just listening. That's right. So who do you have up next?
All right. Thank you. For next on our guest list is Mark Gonsalves. He has enjoyed a very successful 30-plus year business career building brands for major companies. He became interested in health and the impact our food has on us when he and his wife found out their 5-year-old daughter was diagnosed with a medical condition. Traditional medicine made things worse. They looked to nutrition as a way to address her challenge, which proved to be quite effective. Mark and his wife Donna now have a weekly radio show called The Food Conspiracy, which airs Sundays on 2 a.m. stations in Atlanta. They educate listeners on what the food industry doesn't want you to know about how improper food contributes to sickness, obesity, and disease, and what you can do about it. Welcome, Mark Gonsalves.
Thanks, Ryan. And first of all, I think we should just have Dr. Taz on for the full hour because she's a rock star. You know, the reality of it is, right, the big joke is, oh, you have a face for radio?
Yeah.
Well, I just wish the listeners could look at Dr. Taz because
too
she
kind.
Should be in the movies. She should
right.
be on television.
Well, yeah,
this
well,
woman is
yeah.
off the charts.
No, she's been on Dr.
So
Oz.
Sweet.
So, you know,
you've
gone on with that. You're so right on point with all that. So foodzo.com.
Yeah, and let's get into that. But in a second. First of all, I want to dovetail on what Dr. Taz said. You know, Hippocrates, everybody knows Hippocrates. He's known as the father of medicine.
Right.
So listen to this quote. It
okay.
really ties into what she was talking about. Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food. And now we have gone completely off the rails as it relates to this particular topic.
Yeah.
And the results are the results. Massive amounts of disease and sickness. People believe that when they get to 45, 50, 55, 60, they should just start to break down. They should feel terrible in the morning. Their body should ache. I'm here to tell you that if you take responsibility
no doubt.
For your wellness, you can have vibrant health, feel better than you felt in 20 years, but it's a matter of you taking responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
A doctor to Dr. Taz's point, who spends on average 7 minutes with a patient. Mm-hmm. Come on, are you kidding me?
Right.
I mean, let's use some common sense here.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. That's not modern knowledge. Like you said, that quote goes back generations, and we've known that. And they didn't have all those processed foods they have today,
right.
All these big agra like we have today. That's back then, they ate simply, lived healthily, and, you know. And
hey,
so
let's throw
great.
The genetically modified food in there as well.
Yeah.
This is the greatest biological experiment ever conducted on humankind.
Yeah.
So the FDA says is substantially equivalent to real food.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, they give them patents for things that are substantially equivalent. Now, I am not a lawyer in the practice of being able to identify patent law, but I will tell you that when you get a patent, normally you get a patent because something is completely different.
Yeah.
It's a new approach. It's a new system. It's a new product. So if something's substantially equivalent, how could you get a patent for it to begin with? So this whole thing is just fraught with an awful lot of conspiratorial aspects, and we're the guinea pigs here.
Yeah, but we do have a choice,
of research,
though, right?
90 days of research, and they say a genetically modified food is substantially equivalent to the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
That would be like me, Ryan, giving you cigarettes for 90 days and then giving you a full battery of exams, and you come back without lung cancer. Oh, I guess the cigarettes don't cause lung cancer, because after all, we've got 90 days of evidence that proves that you don't have lung cancer, so obviously it doesn't cause lung cancer.
Yeah, right.
This is kind of the rhetoric that goes on, and we talk about healthcare.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that is an oxymoron from my perspective. Mm-hmm. It's disease care.
No,
it's not health care.
Yeah.
What we have is catastrophic medicine. Hey, if I leave the studio today and I get hit by an 18-wheeler heading down 400,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to thank my lucky stars that there's an emergency room, that there's a surgeon, mm-hmm. that there are certain drugs that can take me through this trauma that I'm experiencing.
Certainly.
But to think that that's the answer every single day. You know, my parents are in their 80s now. The average 80-year-old person takes 8 prescription drugs a day. And the thing is there's no evidence whatsoever, no testing, no research whatsoever on how these drugs commingle.
Yes.
And there's very few active ingredients, by the way, in the drugs. So what we're doing is we're turning all of our senior citizens into drug addicts.
Right.
And they can't get off the drugs very easily. The side effects, which now I term the effects, right? These are the effects.
Mm-hmm.
When you see it over and over and over again, you start realizing it's not a side effect.
Yeah.
It's the effect. So food CO, to get back to your question, that's a long way to get all the way back there.
Hey, no, we're liking the ride.
Yeah. So foodco.com is a website that's launching here next month, and you're going to have access anywhere in the United States and Puerto Rico, for that matter, where you can order non-GMO mm-hmm. organic food. And we cover a lot of different categories, from food to children's food, to beverages, to pet food, to supplements, mm-hmm. to personal care items, to household items, all vetted.
That's great.
So this is a huge deal, because a lot of folks live in what we term the organic desert, right? They don't have easy access to great food. You know, back in 1975, per capita, we spent 16% on food, 8% on health care. 40 years later, 2015, the numbers are completely reversed. We only spend 8% on food, virtually the lowest amount of spending on food per capita of any place on the planet. And we now pay 16% for health care. That gets back to Hippocrates, doesn't it?
Yes,
and
it
by
was.
The way, you know, and Dr. Taz, you probably know about this orthorexia nervosa. So now people that want clean food,
mm-hmm.
we have a disease. We're mentally ill.
Mm-hmm. Right. But don't you find people are wising up to this, though? People are educating themselves. You're out there teaching the public. You know, Dr. Taz is helping patients. And so it's kind of come full circle a little bit, where people are making a choice for themselves now.
Right. And you're seeing corporations look around and see what's going on. Diet Pepsi just took aspartame out of the Diet Pepsi.
Yeah.
By the way, the diet drinks down over 6% year over year. That's a loss of $10 billion.
Yeah.
to the beverage group in just one category, diet soda, diet cola. Yeah. That's incredible, isn't it?
It absolutely is.
Panera Bread says, hey, we're going to take all of the additives and the artificial ingredients out. Well, first of all, why does it take us having to say enough, enough is enough before companies do the right thing? Why don't we hold them more accountable than what we do? We should. McDonald's, they got all these stores closing now. The CEO says, we've lost our way. I've got that article right here. Yeah. The reality of it is the article goes on to say how they're restructuring the corporate headquarters, how sales are down, profits are down. Mm. They don't say anything about the fact that their food isn't even food. Right. Inside of McDonald's, they refer to what they sell as product.
Product.
They don't even refer to it as food.
Right, right.
An average French fry at McDonald's, 19 ingredients. I don't know about you, but this is what I want my French fries to be. Potatoes,
yep.
Sea salt, maybe Himalayan salt,
uh-huh.
And I want a non-GMO oil. That's it. That's three ingredients.
So, yeah, so it is affecting big corporations now because the public is making a wise, conscious decision not to eat these products.
Exactly.
And you're providing an outlet for the folks to go get those
and
products.
And I think most people feel like their, excuse me, their votes are not really being used effectively on election day, but every single day, with every single bite of every single piece of food, we vote. Yeah. We get an opportunity to go to that cash register and say, this is my vote.
Yeah.
And as we keep doing it over and over and over again, that's where you're starting to see change. And Monsanto, of course, these are the big kahunas as it relates to genetically modified food. And in Atlanta coming up on the 23rd is the March Against Monsanto. That's an awesome opportunity for your listeners to get an education. There'll be world-class speakers there.
Yes.
It's from 12 to 4, I believe, on the 23rd. That's exciting. They can go to marchagainstmonsantoatlanta.com for all the details. But they're going to learn about how food affects well-being. Another thing that your listeners might be very interested in is the TED Talks. I don't know if you folks are tuned into TED Talks.
Certainly.
But there's this guy. His name is Ron Finley, F-I-N-L-E-Y, Ron Finley. If you've never heard this guy, he talks about urban gardening. If you can watch the 10 minutes on TED and not come away a changed person, I got to tell you something. I don't know what you're watching because this guy is awesome.
Right. So so back to foodzo.com and you know the services you're providing. So you say it's going to launch this summer.
Yeah. So if they want to reach out to us, they can certainly reach out via my email, which is mark@foodzo, F-O-O-D-Z-E-O, foodzo.com.
Yep.
I'll be happy to answer any questions and get them prepared for the launch as well.
I think folks have tried this in the past. You know, I think they've tried to go online with some delivery food services to some success, to maybe, you know, not so much. But what makes you different and what's going to make you succeed?
Well, that's a good point. First of all, the back engine company that supports us as health merchants, they've been around since 2007. They're a publicly traded company.
Okay.
So there's a lot of learnings that have gone on over that period of time, things that didn't work, things that are now working really, really, really well. And to be able to work with the vendor community and build those relationships with hundreds and hundreds of the top brands in the non-GMO space and be able to only focus on that and be able to have the warehouse ship via FedEx Ground to any place in America, now you're not jumping in your car. Now you're not trying to compare prices because it has the low price guarantee. And I can tell you, I just did some research myself for a TV spot on CBS 46. They called me at the last second, so I didn't have time to order. I had to go down to Earth Fair and Sprouts to buy products that we carry and pay retail.
Uh-huh.
And then I took the receipts and I said, okay, let me see what it would have been. The difference was 27% less if they had used Foodzo. And they don't pay sales tax, which I had to do at the store on certain items, 6%, 2%. So that adds up to even more savings. So for someone that doesn't want to have to travel store to store to store, someone that may not have easy access to great food, now they do have a great choice.
I think that would be one of the pushbacks that I've heard is that it costs more to eat healthier. What would you say to that?
Well, why don't we just defer to Dr. Taz here?
Right.
I think it costs more to not eat healthy. You know,
in the long run.
And honestly, in the short term, cheap, convenient food only takes us so far, and we find that we're eating more cheap, convenient food, whereas if you eat fresher foods, locally sourced foods, you can eat a smaller amount, be very satisfied, and obviously it saves you with your health. So it doesn't cost more, and now there's so many more options. You've got a lot more options, whether they're online, local, farmers markets are everywhere now. There are tons of options. Right. That's no longer an excuse, I think.
And if you look around, I don't think anybody is going to say that America looks malnourished. I mean, the obesity epidemic is just inexcusable. We're literally killing our society. When you go to Europe, for instance, you see how mobile people are in the major cities, right? They're walking on average multiple miles a day where we don't. And they're all skinny and they're all vibrant and they all eat a very clean meal in comparison to what we have as a standard meal. You know, in the old days, everything was organic. Mm-hmm. You know, now we have 80,000 chemicals coming at us. By the way, only 200 of them have ever been tested.
Wow.
So you've got all these chemicals coming at you. You've got genetically modified food coming at you. And then we wonder why we're all so sick.
Yeah.
I just wish that people could just revolt against what's happening, because until we do, we're going to continue to go further and further and further into this abyss, and we're all going to pay the price. I mean, an MIT scientist came out a week ago saying that glyphosate is the number one cause of autism.
Mm-hmm.
He said by the year 2025, that's 10 years from now, 2025, one in two children will be diagnosed with autism. So what is that going to play out societally 40, 50 years from now, right, when these children are the adults making the decisions, when only half of them really have the functioning to do so? I mean, come on, we got to start thinking about this, and let's vote with our pocketbook. You know, my wife and I, we end every broadcast on the radio show, we say, you have the power to transform one bite at a time.
That's so true. Well,
Ryan, would you say he's passionate about what he does?
Just slightly, yeah, yes, wow. No doubt about it.
I definitely have some follow-up questions. I'm going to save for the open panel discussion, if you don't mind,
great,
about your radio show and the event you talked about. But, I mean, there's lots of takeaways, but I think the reason the company's called Food CEO, not product CEO, right? I love that thing. A lot of companies, it's a product. How many products are, it should be, they talk about.
It's always about the money, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's always
But you can have both.
The money.
I mean, there's a lot of profit in going green and being healthy. And there's a lot of people that they just need education. But also, you talked about, you know, we should revolt. But a lot of times it's a personal revolt. It's a personal decision. You have to step up and decide for yourself, right? At some level. So I know I got some follow-up questions, but speaking of, we're going to segue now from your physical health to your financial health, right? We're going to talk numbers and more business. So Ryan, who do you have up next?
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Mr. John Wright. He is the co-founder and CEO of Hotel Lender Access Point Financial. John has more than 25 years of experience in the commercial real estate and hospitality industries, specializing in capital expenditure, finance, and hospitality lending. He has worked with Ford Motor Credit, Holiday Inn Worldwide, and was recruited by General Motors to form GMAC Commercial Mortgage, Asset-Backed Lending Division. In addition to his commercial real estate experience, John has also accomplished BMI Inc., a songwriter with a number one song to his credit. Well, that's my first question. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Gosh, I didn't know we were
can
going there.
Sing, say, yeah, can
I didn't
you
know
sing
we
a little
want
bit?
Me to hit that one time.
It's on your bio, right? Yeah.
Going through the big D and don't mean Dallas.
Oh, oh wow.
It's a Mark Chestnut record.
Yeah.
And you wrote that song.
I wrote it. I wrote it with my brother and Ronnie Rogers, who is both are in Nashville. And that's how I got into this business eventually. That was our segue, really, from commodities of healthcare and the food to capital.
I was a music DJ in California at a country music station and played that song
as a music DJ in California. That's a one-hit wonder for me.
And so
that's where in the after college I moved to Nashville, and my brother was already very accomplished. My older brother had cut Clint Black's first album. He found Clint in a honky tonk in Houston.
Wow.
And cut his first album, Killing Time, and then went on and Gretchen Wilson, Leanne Womack, and he's had just a huge catalog of produced and written records, and I went to go get in the music business. And he said, unless you're willing to work for free, if you don't love it enough, then don't get in it. And I said, well, I probably don't. So I'll do my day job and hang out with you at night. So that's what came of it, was a one-hit wonder. So we went number one in radio and records, number two in Billboard with that, and the mid-90s, and because it has a recurring theme, that divorce theme, right. Unfortunately, yeah. It gets a lot of recurring airplay. So that's how I ended up in the financial services sector, and I would say that it proved out that the hotel industry as an asset class, you know, versus multifamily and other specialty niche lending is, in the hotel industry, you're dealing with the entertainment business day in and day out, because these developers that we finance are literally the chamber of commerce and the entertainers in their communities mm-hmm. and their regions that have to get up every day and turn on the lights and make things happen, unlike some of the other asset classes that have 12-month leases with their tenants. The hotel industry, for the most part, except for the extended stay sector, is selling rooms every night.
Wow,
and
yeah.
So that's really something that you know, I think segues into what is the entertainment business and what is you know, a fun industry to have been in. And so I had the pleasure to get to work for Holiday Inn that was based down the road from Nashville in Memphis. And they had an in-house finance company that Kimmins Wilson, who was the founder of the company, created to finance his franchise owners at the time were Holiday Inns, Hampton Inns, Embassy Suites, and Homewood Suites, which some of those brands now are Hilton brands. But and then the move, the company moved here to Ravinia 3 in 1990, and I came over mm-hmm. as a much younger guy and enjoyed Buckhead in its most robust days.
Right. Yep. Back
and,
in the day.
That's where we were inspired to write that song at that point in time. And then we still remain in the Ravinia complex today. We became a business platform and grew organically for General Motors, a new division. And life was good. We were financing across all of our hotel brands beyond just our Holiday Inn clients and Hilton and Marriott franchise owners as well. And grew from a zero book of business to about $4 billion of assets under management, very profitable and a very very good productive time until who would have thought that General Motors would go bankrupt.
Right.
It's true.
Yeah.
So we reformed the business and started it again. And today we are funded with private equity out of Greenwich, Connecticut. We have the best of both worlds, I say, that then we have our debt, 3-to-1 leverage of our business that we lend into the industry with these developers over the country that Wells Fargo comes into all of our transactions. We have a line with Wells Fargo, a leverage line, KeyBank, and an Asian concern, East West Bank. So really a convergence of public and private enterprise, and I'm the managing member of the company with a very capable and long-term staff over at Ravinia One today.
Okay.
We occupy 24,000 square feet there with our team.
Wow.
And you know, a very deep bench of folks that have been with us for a long time. And that's all we do is we don't own or operate hotels. We don't want to.
Right.
Or that means you've taken somebody's, you know, bad loan over. Unfortunately, now we're $7 billion later in the last 25 years or so that we've been doing this, and we've never had any real bad debt to speak of. Less than 1% of our loans are bad debt, and so that's the way that we've been able to bring together, even emerging out of this train wreck of an economy, to rebuild our business mm-hmm. and keep it meaningful and relevant. And so we act as what the community banks used to do, really across the board for a lot of hotel developers, and they don't want to really underwrite hotel loans because they're just difficult. But what I said earlier, underwriting day in and day out occupancy and RevPAR is a little bit different than 12-month leases on a apartment complex.
Yeah, so many moving parts to that, right?
Yeah, it's quite complex, and we like it that way.
Exactly,
it keeps
yeah.
us in business. So I appreciate you guys having me today mm-hmm. and the ability to talk about our company, and we appreciate that the other speakers here.
Absolutely.
The interviews.
So you're here on Georgia Business Radio, and we appreciate you coming in as well. But can you speak on the hotel industry and the state of it here in the state of Georgia?
Well, Georgia we're lenders for North America, and we have, since 2012, originated, you know, coming out of this economy that was quite stressful for a lot of folks, going on $700 million of loans. And so that's a good bit of activity, really middle market lending, something that is larger than an SBA type client
right, right.
and larger than an SBA loan typically, but smaller than institutional and Wall Street lending. And again, that's where we were able to use, you know, money center banks that are throwing their nets out vis-a-vis a large leverage line of credit with us to make those loans to middle America. So it is Main Street to Wall Street. And our loan size, for example, just in the state, is the Sheraton Gateway Airport.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently made the loan there for an acquisition that will involve a very substantial renovation. And by the time we're finished with that loan, then a larger bank, a traditional lender, typically will come in after about 18 to 24 months and refinance that loan, and we'll go back and redeploy that capital again. So you have a branded hotel there at, you know, a major gateway center, second busiest airport, I think, now ranked in the world, over to then an independent hotel, a boutique hotel in Augusta, Georgia, which is the Partridge Inn. So we just made good use of that during Masters Week.
Right, yeah.
And brought our clients in from across the country. And Georgia is always been very well diversified with a lot of the coastal cities. And then, of course, with this great gateway city we have here in Atlanta. And we are held, though, to diversify our portfolio to where we are balanced across the country, balanced across what brands we lend to, whether it be Marriott, Hilton, Intercontinental Hotels Group, which is the formerly known as Holiday Inn Worldwide. And it's a very incestuous business with a lot of great developers here in Atlanta that we've had the benefit to come to know and do business with. So we're very active in Georgia.
That's great. And Georgia, you know, appreciates that. I know the Atlanta community has a very large hotel market and such. And your business takes you all across the country. How about internationally? Are you doing any business there?
We have plenty on our plate. Mm-hmm. And so by the time that you are looking at collateral, looking at legal implications for who is paying their bills timely, unfortunately, we've not had to deal with delinquency too much. But there's just plenty to go around in North America. So we'll venture as far as Canada. Mm-hmm. And stay put here in the U.S. so that we can, you know, gauge and monitor as the banks and the regulators effectively. We, although we're private enterprise, and my equity partners in Greenwich are former heads of Goldman Sachs and George W. Bush's National Economic Advisor, very powerful DNA in the financial services sector. But when you bring all of those people to the table, they want you to keep doing what you've been doing and not venture too far. That typically in any commodities business, whether it's healthcare and the food that we were talking about in those commodities, or financial services, you know, that's right. People know the cost of capital, and so they want you to stay within,
stay in your lane, right?
That's correct.
But also, because you mentioned it's a very complicated business with a lot of moving parts already. So you talk about going international. I mean, that just puts it on steroids, right?
Well, we have in the past in our General Motors days, we opened an office. Somebody mentioned oxymoron before. We says the oxymoron with me going to over to open an office in Paris, and quite a convergence there. I was more comfortable opening a Dublin office.
Right,
of my roots, we've traced back family tree with one leg.
Okay,
it is complicated. We made a couple of loans in London, and it's just these days and times. And again, someone mentioned earlier, people want it quick. They want it fast. They want a quick fix. It's really no different in our industry, in as much as the younger generation coming up versus a traditional borrower profile. The old school were longer term hold investments, you know, and a long term view. In these days and times, I say some of the younger developers coming up, and they grew up on the video game age,
right?
And they still think they have maybe 10 lives to blow up, you know, and they can reset that game.
Right. Yeah.
And, you know, that becomes integrity with what we deal with money. You know, we put our own money into every one of these transactions. We do. We hold a full 1/3 of our risk. And so we're not packaging and selling toxic bonds, just the opposite. Our team, you know, from myself and our CFO, Chief Operating Officer, we all have substantial components of our net worth into the company, so that if anything goes wrong, we change our lifestyle dramatically. And so the older generation now, I would say in my generational range, they find themselves competing with this younger group day in and day out on a transactional basis to find hotels to buy. You know, auction.com is a company that my private equity firm seeded,
really?
And when it launched, and that's the largest auction distribution site company in the world for real estate. We have to be very careful and still very prudent and disciplined on how we, the velocity of how we get into the market to make these loans, but we have to re-engineer so that we can be quick and decisive. And that's what we've carved out over the years. Community and regional banks, you know, these days and times, those credit officers have no upside in their career to go in and recommend big renovation loans for an existing hotel.
Yeah, the risk.
They just don't. Yeah. There's no upside to going in and advocate for that. But after we've come in and provided additional capital to help somebody renovate their hotel, human nature is they're driving by those sites. They see it. Then they'll go into their committees and recommend.
Yeah,
and you have these older generation developers. They're competing against the younger sector of the video game mindset that I liken to the analogy of PEDs in sports. Mm-hmm. So that they're trying to have to compete now with that younger generation, say, how, you know, do I take enhancements or supplements in my day-to-day activity. It's a real collision
right.
of culture and behaviors that we have to watch out for these days. So it's technology, of course, has entered into our space about how we protect our business and watch out for the goodwill of our staff and our client base.
Now, John, you mentioned the SBA. We just had some folks, and we did a special episode on Wednesday with people from the regional, local, Georgia, as well as the whole Southeast representative. There's only, I think, he's one of nine in the entire country. But that's not a play for you for SBA?
You know, it's a very profitable business for those that have been in it, that understand it. And again, it's something that we've looked at in the past. It's a good business for business in America, but it is cumbersome if you're just diving into it. You have to, of course, go get licensed or buy a company to do that. And so they have a niche carved out for themselves. It's very profitable aftermarket for them in the capital markets. It is, though, at the whims of what the government may year in and year out decide to allocate for funding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and you're not in the driver's seat in that case.
No, so we prefer to have a little bit more of this middle market space. Our loans are ranging from $250,000 for when you see the ADA pool lifts, Americans Disability Act, mm-hmm. and all these going into pools around the hotels. Right. We get lines of credit for that. We like this business because it has a recurring model of renovation cycles that the franchise companies impose their will that every 5 to 7 years the hotels, the good hoteliers, and the ones that we deal with, high net worth and very deep pockets that do what they're supposed to, are renovating those properties. So we see this turnover of these types of loan opportunities every 5 to 7 years. The other traditional lending, you know, has 20, 25-year amortization, so you just don't have necessarily that recurrence coming back and forth. But again, the SBA business is a good sector, but it's we go from $250,000 up to $25 million typically. So that new construction we did at Tempe at Arizona State, mm-hmm. Their campus, largest campus in the country, and then near and dear to my heart, we just finished one in Nashville on Music Row, a Marriott.
Oh, wow.
Marriott manages. Marriott comes in and provides some enhancements to the credit because they're going to have a 30-year management agreement. And so, or $25 million, we may take to Vegas and do the HVAC systems.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Well, you would if you listen.
I did that last week. Didn't turn out well. Yeah.
Well, here's the punchline on that. The rationale is we do the HVAC systems at the Aladdin and the Venetian.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so that may be only.
Oh, you said $25 million.
$25 million.
Okay, I misheard you.
$25 million.
I took a smaller amount to Vegas.
Not the $25 blackjack. But we do the HVAC systems at the Venetian near Aladdin.
Wow.
And in 2011. After 9/11, the Aladdin experienced some stress and went bankrupt, and a $2 billion overall capital stack. And so we're only 1% of that or less at $25 million. But if we don't get paid, we'll come get our heating and air, and you definitely air conditioning in Vegas. And so we get paid 100
That's
cents.
That's as good as water out there, yeah.
We get paid 100 cents on the dollar, and the bondholders may take it 50 cents on the dollar. And water in Vegas, too. We did the Red Rock Country Club. We did the irrigation system there for about the same size transaction, and if versus the real estate, if you are not paid, you take a backhoe out on the first fairway and start digging.
Wow,
and
nice.
You're behind the Howard Hughes Trust. They're going to pay you. So it's an interesting business that is
somewhat
gritty.
But you could write a book about this, whatever.
I mean, we tried another song, but it's just not as catchy. You know, you've got to cater to teenage females now that actually buy product.
Yeah, like the Taylor Swift kind of
that's
crowd.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think that's you're not a Taylor Swift kind of guy, I don't think.
No, my daughter is, though, so that's what counts. They're the ones that they cater to.
Well, let's tell our listeners the best way to find out about y'all and what y'all do and reach out to
Just look for us at Access Point Financial and accesspointfinancial.com. And, again, we've been very pleased and very proud to call Atlanta our home office for the past 25 or so years since we came in from Memphis and Nashville, and we're at One Ravinia, and we've closed 350 loans in the last 3 years. We are the premier provider. We provide this financing through the brands that drive. Wall Street told the hotel corporate brands years ago to delever from asset ownership. Don't be heavy laden with owning assets in bad times. Then your valuations, your balance sheet is at risk. And don't be in the lending business internally. And that's where I started at Holiday Inns, an in-house finance company. They don't want you artificially inflating your distribution or the demand for your distribution via in-house financing. They want the capital markets to determine what is viable and what is robust. And so those brands still today, from having been in this business for such a long time and the incestuous nature of the C-suite relationships, the people that run Marriott's Development and Choice or Hilton and Marriott Intercontinental, et cetera, we've all grown up in the business together, and they'll refer a good bit of their pipeline to us for people that need financing. And so it's a very good generator for us, again, on the recurring cycle of it. And it has a lot to do with us staying through good times or bad. To 2009, we had a local bank here that was closed. It was a premier funding source for us. And we weathered that. We lived with the FDIC for a couple of years, and we stayed open and operating. But that helped us long-term for this equity group that supports us with quite a bit of money. We now have debt and equity commitments approaching $700 million. And it's a very strong business for us, and we appreciate you all having us today.
Absolutely. I imagine during that downturn, there was a lot of, you lost a lot of competitors. And let's open it up. I know we have some, Ryan.
Yeah, just wanted to speak on kind of what Mark and Dr. Taz, you can chime in to some of the events coming up that you'd like to, you know, maybe attend this summer or encourage your listeners or your patients to go and seek out. So Mark, anything, you said, the launch of the website, plus you said the March on Monsanto.
Right on the 23rd and also on the 14th, which is next Thursday, we're having an event here in Atlanta, which will give people an opportunity to see a real business opportunity within health and wellness, being able to provide what we call the health merchant program to others. So they have a portfolio of products like Foodzio does, and they could build a business. So I'm not going to say, like most hypesters, it's an opportunity of a lifetime. Right, yeah. But at the same time, I will say it could be an opportunity for a lifetime.
Oh, very good. Nice. And Dr. Taz, anything on the horizon for Atlanta Holistic Medicine or yourself? Or you got any more big-time TV appearances coming up?
We're always in the media somewhere, but we have a couple of local appearances coming up, and then we'll probably have some more appearances this summer on different shows, but all that scheduling is still being worked out.
And how about the growth of Atlanta Holistic Medicine? How do you see that going or evolving over the next year or so?
That's what we're diving into. We're right in the middle of that process right now. We have some big plans. We hope they all pan out. We really think that this is the model for healthcare in the future. So we're hoping to open more locations, and we actually intend to go national as well and see if we can kind of spread this message everywhere, but still maintain consistency and quality and some of those other things that, you know, all growing businesses have to deal with.
Very good. So listeners, stay tuned for more from Dr. Taz and Atlanta Holistic Medicine.
Yeah, and I think maybe y'all could partner in and create a chain of healthy hotels. And
there we go. John, I love it.
They are out there, the lifestyle hotels.
And serve non-GMO food at the hotels.
Oh my gosh, I would be there.
We try to stay light in the food and beverage side of the industry, so that would weave in with what the other speakers
and carve out a little space in your next hotel for a radio studio, and we'll put it all together.
Sounds good to me. Yeah,
speaking of radio, I did want to ask Mark. Tell us, it's not competing, so feel free to tell our listeners what station you're on, what time of day, what channel, all that good stuff.
Yeah, we come on at Saturday morning on 1160 from 8 to 9, and then on Sunday it's rebroadcast on 1690, Voice of the Arts, and that's at 11 through noon. And if they want to hear any of the past episodes of The Food Conspiracy, they can go to myfoodconspiracy.com, myfoodconspiracy.com, and it's a place where they can hear all of the old broadcasts, which
tune
are pretty
in,
good.
Listen to those. And that's 1190 Biz FM, right? Or Biz AM is the, correct,
For Saturdays. Right. 1160 and 1690.
Yeah, and I have to say, I tuned into a couple of those episodes of My Food Conspiracy prior to today's broadcast, and I was blown away with first 5 minutes, not only about the passion that you brought in here today, but you can hear it on your show, and I was educated as well. I mean, you can see that you're coming from a point of view that you've lived it.
Right, and we don't get paid to do it, by the way. Well, so people think, oh, you must be doing this because it's a business. No, it's an educational opportunity. You know, we were on the other side.
Yes.
We were on the other side. We saw the effects to our daughter. We saw the effects to ourselves. And by being able to make these changes, we've transformed our family. Mm-hmm. So it's very easy for us to get passionate. And if we can affect just one person being able to really help themselves and their families, by God, we feel like we've done a great thing.
And not to get too personal, but how is your daughter doing today? I mean, after being on this plan of healthy eating.
Yeah, she's done really, really, really well. So she was diagnosed with this condition called absence seizures. We have an idea of how it happened. We won't get into that. That's another story for Dr. Taz and I. Okay. It'd be a great story for the show, as a matter of fact. You know, the vaccine business is huge news these days. Yeah. But at any rate, she's doing terrific. Thanks for asking.
Good.
You mentioned autism earlier, too. It's like, didn't the governor just pass a new bill about autism just this past week, I believe. But like you said, I mean, it's what's the ingredient in the food or that
glyphosate?
Yeah.
Glyphosate. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So a lot of times we're kind of reactive. A lot of times, right?
Yeah, you know, and it's proactive. A good point that you're making, because here's the deal: 5K runs, everybody's dumping ice on their heads, the little pink ribbons on the hats. All that stuff is wonderful, right? But the reality of it is we're looking for a cure for these things. Why aren't we going back in time and saying, what did we do to create these things? Mm-hmm. And let's stop doing it. That's the cure. Right. We don't need a drug company to give us a drug to cure this.
Yeah.
Well, it's like building a bad hotel, you know, with just a bunch of amateurs, or every hotel we've built the last 50 years has been broken, so let's build another one, right?
Yeah.
But how about let's go back and re-engineer it and figure out what we're doing wrong and build a better hotel from the ground up? Yes, well, yes or yes?
Yes.
And I'm just pleased that you all allowed me to answer all the questions last so I could take a few laps around the office here to get in shape.
I know we're almost out of time, but quick question for John here. Any involvement in Airport City or any updates on that? Is that part of that? That was a renovation project you're talking about down there, but
typically those types of projects, especially with the vibrancy of this gateway city airport, will bring in a reverse auction type of lending environment that will bring in institutional funds that is going to be very, very low cost and bonds issuance. And
government
so we
contracts.
are looking at some transactions, but just as the example of the Sheraton Gateway that we were able to come into,
right.
You know, roughly a $20 million project to come into and be a part of it. And then, of course, have the rights to put our name on the rooftop, you know, for all the air travelers come through. And maybe we'll put a radio station in
there. Nice. Yeah, I'm loving this. Yeah. Do you have a helipad up there, too? Whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. There's the story about that at the W downtown that we have.
All right, very good. Thank you very much to all our guests for joining us in the studio. It's been quite informative and very entertaining. You've been listening to Georgia Business Radio, where we feature industry leaders from Atlanta to Savannah. If you want to be a guest on our program, please reach out to us. Until next time, we will see you on the radio.